Oh jeez.
Yeah. Well, Jason would feel it. Simon definitely won't like what I'm gonna say.
I roll with you, man. Sometimes I don't know how we get there, but I'm always on the train.
Forgive me for being myself. Forgive me for being myself. I want the money, the power, the dollar, and all of the riches and wealth. Being broke is bad for my health. Being broke is bad for my health. I want the money, the power, the dollar, and all of the riches and wealth.
Let's bring the people in to the Jason and OC podcast. I miss you, my brother. It's the one time I get your undivided attention. Maybe. You might be doing something else I don't even know about right now.
But craziness. I'm doing a lot of craziness, Jay, bro. A lot of craziness.
We'll get into some of that later. Our listeners would love to know what OC has brewing. And trust me, when we discuss it, it is big. It's so big that I'm just going to stop there. I'm just going to stop there, OC.
Monumental.
Monumental.
Huge. Not huge. Huge.
You know what you just sound like whenever I say words, and you know obviously my daughter's young, and when she was learning how to speak and how to enunciate and pronunciate and all those things, and using phonetically speaking, that's how she would do her mouth all the time. So do that again.
Huge. Yeah.
She would make sure. She like, Daddy, you're not saying it the right way. I was like, you know what? I just can't talk well, and I know it. So there it is. But that I can't even focus after that. I'm just thinking how my daughter looked. The NFL draft is over, my bro. The NFL draft is over. And one thing we do, and we always have, is we have told the people the truth. We are NFL opening day roster, game analysis. We break down what's happening in the NFL as it's happening. We don't try to act like we're draft experts. We don't.
Yeah.
You spend a lot of time. I do watch the corners just because I enjoy that. And the quarterbacks, because it's easy. It's there. But a lot of stuff you're just counting on people you trust in the industry, scouts and things of that nature. On what they say and kind of how it all shifts out. So, but once the draft happens, OC, I like to look at the draft like this, and then I'll bring you in to correct me and see if I'm going on the wrong street. Because at times I do. When I look at the draft, I look at the draft like investment strategy.
Okay.
Now, you know, I love finance.
Yes, that's your business. So
that's my business. So I look at the teams like individual investors. Everybody has a different risk tolerance, right? You know that. You and I are different investors because of a lot of different scenarios. The biggest one is capital. The biggest one is capital that I can deploy. But we won't get into that right now. See, we're not talking about me and you. And how much money you have. What we are talking about is that teams are different, right? You have teams that invest the long term, the short term. You got teams with different risk and reward. You got all kind of things. And I look at the draft and I see with free agency what a team's philosophy is and if they stuck in that. That is the way I approach the draft. So I don't go into winners and losers. I look at their philosophy and I say, this is the kind of investor they are. Now, most teams they talk about being long-term investors, right? We're going to invest in the long run. We're going to get these people. We're going to grow. But then one season happens and everything changes, right?
Everything changes.
It's just like the market, right? It gets a little rocky. No, let me pull all my money out. I want all my money back. Said this is for last, you want to invest this for 10 years. But no, when the ship gets rocky in the water, you change your philosophy.
Yep. So, and a lot of them do that. A lot of them do that, man. You said something interesting. The whole winners and losers thing, that to me is like a joke. Whenever I hear people talking about winners and losers of the draft, I start laughing because how on earth could you possibly know that? Like, how could you possibly know that? 90% of the people who got drafted are not going to be great players.
True.
Period. So how could you possibly know right now who's going to be a winner and a loser? There's going to be some people who you think are going to be good to end up being terrible. There are going to be some people who you're going to be like, why did you draft that guy there? End up being outstanding football players. There are going to be some people who get drafted in the sixth or seventh round, aka Tom Brady, Terrell Davis, end up being Hall of Famers. You don't know who the winner and the loser is right now. Shut your face. Let's get that out of the way. Now, another thing. Shut your face. Just shut up. Shut up. Shut up. I don't want to hear that. Shut up.
Oh, gosh.
Now, another thing that I find really, really interesting is the strategy that some of these teams employ. And some of them are very, very sneaky. Very, very sneaky indeed, J-Bell. What they'll do is they will draft a quarterback high and early. You know why? You know why they do that, J-Bell? Because when you draft a quarterback early, you know what that does? It buys you time. It gives you hope, and it buys you time. If you're a GM, and if you're a head coach, you draft a guy, let's say San Francisco 49ers, go ahead and draft a Trey Lance, who is supposed to be a very, very high ceiling guy, but it's going to take him a little time to develop.
High risk, high reward.
But it gives you at least 3 more years on the job, J-Bell, because they got to see this guy develop. Even if he goes 4-12, 5-11, hey, guess what? He was a project. He's going to take him a while to develop. And so a lot of these teams do that. Now, another thing that a lot of these teams do is they say that they are going to, draft by, whoever the best available player is. But then once crunch time comes, Jason, they don't do it. Once crunch time comes, Jason, just like you said, long-term, short-term investment, they go for the short-term investment every single time. Now, speaking of, I do really like what the New York Giants did.
Yes, let's go into that.
I really, really like what the New York Giants did here because they traded out. And what they did was, even though they've had 3 successive, losing seasons, what they've done now, what this GM, Dave Gettleman, has done is he has built something for the future. So next year, they're going to have a couple of high draft picks. Even the year after that, they're going to have a couple of high draft picks. So this man actually said to himself, okay, for the short term, I could take this player, I could take that player. But for the long term, I could trade back, something he's never done before, and actually acquire and accumulate picks that is going to benefit this franchise for the long run. A lot of people don't think like that, but Dave Gettleman did. Shout out to the New York Giants.
That is a great pick. They were one of my teams. And what I like about their philosophy, and when I look at them as an investor, I say this. They got Daniel Jones weapons, right? Mm. They gave him every weapon he needed offensively. So now they can determine next year, is he their quarterback? And if he's not, OC, the way they built that team, if they bring another quarterback in, he has weapons at his disposal and protection. And a good defense, especially a good defensive coordinator. Yep. So you can plug a player in there and they can have success. And that's what I really like about what they've done. And to your point about accumulating picks, if that's the case in the future. Good call by you. The other team in New York didn't do bad either.
They did. I mean, we don't know as of yet.
True. They're long-term and getting Zach Wilson. High risk, exactly. High reward.
Yeah, absolutely. And now they bought themselves a couple of years of no matter what happens, we are going to be here, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I'm not going to say I've studied him enough to be completely honest with you. And you said this earlier. I don't really invest that much time in rookies. Like for me, I'm like, when I see.
What you want to see him on the field rosters, against the competition.
That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see. And that's when I'm going to know if this guy's worth my time. I mean, time is a very, very precious resource, man. It's not something you can just be wasting around on very unsuccessful people.
Are you trying to say talking to me is wasting your time?
No, not at all. Not at all. Jason, playing. You made it. And you played for a long period of time. After your first year, I would have been like, okay, yeah, he's good to go. And I would have started to pay attention, and I did.
Were you that guy in the locker room, OC?
It did what?
That didn't talk to guys that you didn't – you talked to everybody.
Jason, you've been in the same locker room as me. You ain't got to ask those questions. No, I spoke to everybody. I don't feel like I was
to everybody.
Of course. I mean, come on. But I'm saying, like, now as a, you know, NFL analyst.
Yeah, true.
I'm not like a college. Right. I'm not a college analyst. Like, I'm an NFL analyst, and so everything I focus on is the actual people who make it and in the people game. Who are going to perform in the game.
Yeah,
that's what my focus is.
That's very
true. The draft, you know, for me, is not that big of a deal.
Right. But to your point about the Jets, Zach Wilson, what they did well and the way they built it is they didn't do what they did with Sam Darnold. They invested in they got this guy some protection. They know they need to protect this guy because, to your point, they are riding on his success. If he's not successful, the whole regime changes again. You got a new coach, defensive guy coming in. Obviously, the GM, his name is on this pick. So they got to protect this quarterback. They have to have success.
Did you watch this guy? Because I kept on, you know, anytime I turn on the TV and they were talking about the pick that went to Atlanta at number 4, Kyle Pitts. All I heard was, this is a generational, once in a lifetime kind of tight end. But when I was looking at the highlights, I didn't necessarily see something that said to me, this guy is going to be better than Tony Gonzalez or Antonio Gates or, you know, one of those kind of guys. Like, I didn't necessarily see
You don't
that.
Know. So, you're right.
So, but why were people, why was everybody discussing this guy like he was literally the second coming of, you know, Ozzie Newsome or something like that? Because I just didn't see what the big deal was.
Yeah, the thing about him is, as you know, because you know what's happening in the game right now, the tight end position is very valuable when it's when they can win matchups. Travis Kelce is an oversized receiver. He's an oversized X receiver that plays tight end. You can detach him from the formation. He does so much for you. He causes mismatches. This is what Kyle Pitt does, except Kyle Pitts is faster and maybe even stronger, more physical and more elusive. It's who's going to cover him, OC? And unless you have that Swiss Army knife type of player, then you go put your corner out there. He might push him around. You go put a safety or a linebacker. He's going to route him up. And that's, if he's used that way, that's where he's going to have a lot of success. And in Atlanta with Matt Ryan, he is going to determine those matchups at the snap. And he's going to take advantage of that. That's why I think that's a great fit for him and why they are telling us Atlanta in their investment strategy that they believe they got some more money left in Matt Ryan and he can play a couple more years for them.
No, I get that completely. But my question is, why does everybody think he's going to be so different or so much better than the ones we've already seen? It shows that.
In college, he was dominant, man. He was dominant. Yeah. He was, he's very hard to stop. I mean, I'm telling you, if you put him at receiver, he would have been one of the top receivers coming out. He's just a rare talent. Mm-hmm. But to your point, we don't know what's going to happen when he gets in the league. But if I'm investing, that is, if that investment fails, I have a lot of excuses. I'm like, there's nothing that you could have told me said that this guy wouldn't be great. He's checking all the boxes. And remember,
Apple, basically. He's like investing in Apple or Microsoft, something
like
that. It's
like, I didn't know Google was going to go down 50% tomorrow. Like, who would have thought that? He's blue chip. Yeah. And remember, these people are all these people picking from scouts to the front office. Their name is on that decision. They want to have every excuse if it doesn't work out. Just like you said, it was a blue chip stock. Who would have known this was going to happen? And that's what he is. I mean, he is as blue chip as it gets.
Got you. Okay, good. Well, let's see.
They are talking about him like he was the most talented player. So besides Trevor Lawrence, of course. So people are saying that. I tell you what, Cleveland Browns got better, I think. Cleveland, and they didn't have a lot of holes. But they got better. And what really is important when I look at them as a team is what they really field is at linebacker. I'm going to say his name, Jeremiah Owusu Koromo.
Koromo.
Was I close?
You were close.
I'm getting better. The linebacker from Notre Dame. Yes. He's a baller. He's a baller. They got him in the second round. They need a linebacker.
He's African. Of course he's a baller. I mean.
Just look at how many African players got drafted this year.
Jason. You want me to
take 15 over
of them?
The takeover.
No, no, there's 15 of them. Exactly. Not. I don't need to look. 15. Yeah, you know how many of them were Nigerian? 11.
Wow.
11.
Wow.
Yes.
Statistically, is that because there's more Nigerians in the U.S.?
Jason, let's get into the statistics of things. Yeah. There are 400,000 Nigerians in the United States of America. 400,000, right?
Oh.
Now, 400,000, I'm talking, when I say Nigerians, I'm talking about like men, women, children,
everything. The whole nine.
Total.
Yep.
The whole nine. And there are 50 million Black people.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so basically, Nigerians probably make up 0.0000.
See where you going with this, bro.
1%. So the question is, why would a demographic that represents 0.00001%?
You got an argument here.
Be overrepresented in the NFL.
You got an argument. It's a fact.
Hmm. You see, here's the thing, Jason.
Did I tell you I was 31% Nigerian?
Yes. That's not even. That is. I'm not surprised. I mean, of course you are. Look at the way you play. You played with anger.
I did. Okay. I did play with anger. I did.
Yeah. So you see.
Okay.
Jason,
okay.
When you go to Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the athletes there, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And you see the Nigerian, you know, athletes here in the UK or all over the world. You notice something very, very, I'm not going to say peculiar, but they are big,
mm-hmm.
strong, fast, agile, and very intelligent. It's almost as if they were designed specifically to play American football. Because you have to have all of those things.
To last in the league, you have to have all. You got to tick all those boxes.
All of them.
Or you will be found out.
Period. And so they have all of that. And so it's not a surprise to see that many of them in the NFL. Because I don't want to say bred. But it's almost like everything that the Nigerian athlete is what an NFL player is supposed to be.
And there's
and
so
this
many.
This is why you see them. So many of them. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's you keep on top of it. You keep telling us the stats. And, you know, I'm watching. It is compared to the population, it is a significant number are in the NFL in the States. This is big. This is why.
But, you know, Jason. We'll let everybody keep sleeping. We're not. We're wide awake. Eyes are like this. Everybody else is asleep. I'm not asleep.
No, my brother, you are not asleep. And you know who else isn't asleep?
Who?
Steal of the draft. I'm going to tell you, and tell me if you agree. Steal of the NFL draft.
Okay.
Chicago Bears getting Justin Fields. Steal of the draft. Steal of the draft at pick 11. Them getting their quarterback of the future. This gives the fan base exactly what you said earlier. Hope. Mm-hmm. Huge hope. They have a great defense.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was a little upset that they thought their future was in Andy Dalton's hands.
Mm.
But right now, tickets, if I'm buying tickets, I'm buying tickets to the Chicago Bears. He's going to be on the field at some point this year. And the guy can flat out ball. I don't think they thought they had a chance.
He's a good player. I mean, I don't think we can dispute that based upon what he was able to do in college. One thing that I really did like is the fact that I think it was Kyle Long, who now plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. He put out a tweet saying Soldier Fields. And I was like, ooh.
Ooh, he better go. Man, hey, man. Hey, he better get that patent quick.
Right now.
That's Soldier sweet. Fields.
Soldier Fields. Because, you know, Soldier Fields, Soldier Fields.
I love it. I love
dope.
It.
That was dope.
It's like Tampa that. Brady when he came out.
Tampa Bay.
But, you know, Tom Brady. He went out and got that patented real quick. Or he put a trademark. I'm sorry. He put a trademark. That's what I'm saying.
Of course he did. He's a white people man. You know how smart the white man is. You're just going to let that slide? What are you talking about?
I can't. I'm trying.
J-Bell, them white men don't play, bro. They don't play.
I don't even know how.
Oh, man.
Oh, gosh.
There's some smart people, bro. they smart, bro. They smart, man. Anyway.
Gosh. I think I got a cramp. I got a baby cramp in my hip. Oh, my goodness. So there's another thing I always like looking at, because we have friends that coach in college.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot, you know, high level coaches doing well, should be head coaches soon enough. So I look at which team college puts out the most players, right? Because that's how they recruit. For anybody who doesn't know, this is how they get the kids to come into college so they can have a great program, right? We put out this many guys in the NFL, unless you're Troy and you just have both your defensive ends go when OC was there, because you were a top 10 defense and nobody else is on your team. I'm just saying. Yeah, that
number
just
four,
doesn't happen.
Upon pressure.
Yeah, just everybody. I would have loved to play on that team. I would have been a first round pick. That being said.
You would have.
For sure. They'd be like, you have the best cover corner in college football.
In history. We've never seen a guy cover like that before.
Just, I know the ball's coming out quick because I got OC off the edge.
No, Jason. And that ball's coming out now. That ball's coming out right now. Not quick. What's coming out right now?
No,
you don't have to run 15 to not 15, 20 yards. No.
I will tell this story to the day I die, when you and Strahan were hurt and I was out there looking at Will Demps and I thought, I don't think we can do this. Why is this game so hard? Because both of them are hurt. I was like, we need them. This is bad. I'm being exposed. I'm being exposed. That being said, so I'm looking at the teams. There's a couple teams with 10 plus players, but this is when you know you're good. Alabama. Their long snapper got drafted.
That's ridiculous, man. Long snapper.
The long snapper gets drafted. That's when you're good at pick 222, Thomas Fletcher. Now, Thomas Fletcher's probably a baller, a long snapper. I'm just saying, that's when you go to a powerhouse, your long snapper gets drafted. I didn't even get drafted, OC.
And they drafted long snappers. Horrible.
This. I'm just saying. I mean, this is what I look.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself, Jason. Actually.
Hey, you know what's funny? You want to hear something funny? I'm in Dallas, and it's the second year going into camp. And then our long snapper from UCLA had got drafted to the Washington football team and got cut. So he came over, and he just got picked up by the Cowboys. And literally, I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, I've made the team going into my second year. And this guy, I think he went in the seventh round. I'm just looking. I'm just like, I can't believe he got drafted. Like, that was, I was thinking in there. I just was so salty. I'm just like,
it's angry.
Not mad that he got cut and all that. I'm like, he got drafted. Like, what is
crazy,
going on?
Man. Crazy.
It's like,
inexact science, man.
It isn't. Can I throw one other team at you? Tell me what you think. I believe I like the strategy, the investment strategy and team building strategy of the Miami Dolphins. I believe they are giving Tua Tagovailoa everything he needs. They brought his receiver in, right? Jalen Waddle. I like the guy, Jalen Phillips, out of Miami. You got to watch this dude. He's probably the best pass rusher in the draft. I think he is. I like the guy from Michigan too.
Quiddy Pie.
Yeah. I like him too. What a story. What a story. His story is fascinating. If anyone, they need to check that out. But yeah, I like Miami. I like what they, I think that when I look at that team, Brian Flores and everything they're doing, I like what they're building. And once again, kind of like New York, I'm not sure if you agree with this, but if their quarterback doesn't work, I feel like you can plug another playmaker in there and he has all the resources around him to be successful.
Yep, I completely agree because they're going to be good defensively, pretty good offensive line, all the weapons around him. All you need is, you know, a good quarterback, not even a great one. All you need is a good quarterback, and I think that team is going to be successful, man. You're completely correct. Miami Dolphins, very, very impressed with the way they've handled their business over the last couple of years. Shout out to Brian Flores, incredible head coach.
We are Brian Flores fans, aren't we? Let's just be honest.
Yeah, I really like Flores.
I'm gonna be a homer for London. I'm gonna be a homer real quick, and then I'm gonna stop. I'm just gonna stop there.
Yep.
I like what Jacksonville's doing.
Yeah.
I'm buying. I'm buying hope. I'm buying the hype. Urban Meyer, the head coach, what he's building. He's building the offensive structure that worked for him in college. Fast pace, a lot of movement, people flying around. Trevor Lawrence can change your whole franchise. I like what they're doing, man. I think this team, I'm not saying next year, they might be a year away, and they might be two, but they are going to have to be dealt with in the AFC South.
Listen, when you speak about this kid, Trevor Lawrence, I think everybody knows this guy's story. Since he's 14, this guy has been the guy, and he's delivered at every occasion, right?
Yes.
I heard the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars say something that I found fascinating.
Oh, I think we might have heard the same thing.
Yeah. I heard the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Shad Khan, say that Michael Jordan.
I didn't hear this.
Oh, Michael Jordan was never a true superstar here in England. Like, he never was. Like, you know, he was massive in America and he was massive in, you know, a bunch of different places, but he was never a true superstar here in England. And what he said was, this guy, Trevor Lawrence, has the ability to be a superstar, not only in the United States of America, but because of this guy's pedigree, he can be a superstar. And the Jaguars' connection to London, he could be a superstar here. And I said, wow. He is 100% correct. Now, think about what that means if Trevor Lawrence now becomes a big-time quarterback and the Jacksonville Jaguars are London's team. Now you got this guy here in the United Kingdom twice a year with his long flowing locks, with his beautiful arm, just dealing out there, just dealing for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Imagine what that's going to do.
Arm and lock.
Imagine just what flicking. That's going to do. Dude, just look at the flick of the wrist. Look at the flick of the wrist. Imagine what that does for not only the Jacksonville Jaguars, but for the game of American football here in London, J-Bell, in the UK.
I couldn't be more excited. I mean, everybody's going to watch this kid. And you're right. Yep. He's been great on every level. I like his demeanor. I like the way he approaches it. Because when you've been a star that long, it's hard. You've been a star your whole NFL career. Imagine put times that by two.
It's crazy.
College being, I mean, you were a star in college, but imagine you playing for a bigger school and in high school.
I was a star at Troy.
Right. But, you know, so. Give yourself some more credit.
Yeah. I love Troy, though. Shout out to Troy. That was a great experience for me. Great school.
It worked out.
Yeah. Troy's big time now, though. They're like an actual big time. They weren't big when I was there. They're a big time school now, man.
You built that school.
We helped.
You got your name on a couple of bricks.
Yeah, I do. It was nice. Troy was cool, man.
You said something interesting about the owner, Shad Khan, and he said this. I heard him say this, and he said, "You know, this is a guy who's been ridiculously successful in his businesses, right? So you got to hear what he says and take every granite of salt." And he said, this time I got it right. This time I got it right with the head coach, obviously the pick. And when you think about businesses and business sustainability and things that last, there's a lot of mistakes on that road.
Yep.
But it's the ones who endure, who keep trying, who keep fixing, who keep adjusting, people that get things right. That changes the game, you know, that have the fortitude to keep pushing forward and to make those mistakes and to stay on task, regardless of what the outside noise is saying. He said, I got it right. I have to listen to a man that's had that much success when he says he got it right.
I agree with you, Jay. I ain't got nothing else to say on that.
Let me tell you something you got right.
Yep.
When they said, OC, we're gonna do this show out. You're gonna be the man in London. You're gonna do all this stuff, right? You're like, yeah. And they said, hey, have you heard of this guy, Jay Bell? He's out here. You said, oh, that's my buddy. Yeah, he should come on with me. He should roll with me. You got it right.
Oh my God. I'll never forget that day. I was sitting in the NFL office. They were like, we have this guy. His name is Jason Bell. I was like, my Jason Bell?
I didn't even know you were. I didn't know
my
nothing.
Jason Bell?
I thought you were still playing. OC, when they said it was you, I was like, but OC's still playing in Atlanta. They're like, nah, you retired. I was like, he hasn't even told anybody. Like,
it's crazy. Man, crazy. I'm like, good times.
I know. And that's
6 years later.
I know. Thank you for getting it right, OC. You could have got anybody. And, you know, it's thank you for getting it right.
it would have never been like this. I can tell you that right
it
now.
It would have never been like this. It would not have. I see people all the time when the streets were open, and I see them now a little bit. And the best, I say the thing that I love most is when you and I are together and people come up to us and they're just like, you guys are exactly what we thought you were.
Yeah.
It's authentic. Like, they're just like, you're just our homie. Like, you are just, you the same dudes we feel like we just chilling with, watching a game, having a beer. But if it was a beer, I'd be drinking some wine or something like that. You know what I'm saying? You did beat me in the
beer chugging thing. Yeah. You know, I don't.
And you don't even, how did you beat me, man? You must have studied.
Because I'm African, Jason.
I gotta go. Beer chugging? Come on.
I mean, that's my only explanation, bro.
Oh my gosh. Oh my
I'll tell you what I like. I gotta be honest with you.
Tell me.
I like it when I'm with you, because when I'm with you, I don't have to answer this question. Where Jay Bell at? Huh? Oh, see.
I can't go. Where Jay Bell at?
Let me look in my pocket, because am I not allowed to walk the streets without Jay Bell?
This is in my throat.
I don't have to answer that question.
It's all in my chest, OC. Oh my God.
Oh man. Oh, incredible.
Can I tell you something and we can get off this? Because I know.
Yep.
So my neck is a little messed up.
Yeah.
I had to go. You know, eventually I'm going to have to probably have surgery, but had to go get an injection in my neck for pinched nerve. Wow. We pay with our bodies, right? We pay. Take care of our stuff when we retire.
Full price.
Yeah, full price. So I'm in there doing it, and it's all about pain management, so I don't eventually have to have surgery, or I'm prolonging the inevitable. So I'm in there getting it done. The guy goes, he's a specialist out here, and he says, which I love London healthcare, by the way. Whole another topic. Or UK's healthcare. Sorry. And the guy's like, where did you play? I said, the teams. And he goes, I think I worked on the guy from the Giants. And I was like, the only one out here is B Short. You know, because he works for the investment fund.
Yep.
And he was like, that's him.
Wow.
Straight up. How crazy is that?
What a small world we live in.
We are in the UK.
Yeah.
Same doc. It's three of us that play for the Giants here right now. One of our friends, linebacker. I'm not gonna put his business out there because I don't know if he's hiding from anybody, but he was a linebacker, works for an investment fund. One of the, you know, we'll be anywhere, OC.
Y'all New Yorkers like that money, huh? You guys always where the money is.
Hey man, as soon as we retired, I think me and him talked about it. I was like, he was like, I'm gonna go into trade, and I was like, I'm going into private wealth, man. New York will do that to you. It exposes you to that world. So
that's, you know, fact.
Look at what Tuck's doing. I mean, it's all about who you're around, and when you have the access to those people in those industries, you could take advantage of it. And that's why we, what we're promoting, what you're promoting more than anybody, is giving people chances. Because there's a lot of unused talent, and it impacts us all as a society, because there's so many people that have so much untapped talent that could change the world. And the only reason they're not able to do that is because of their exposure. If we can open up these doors and allow these people a way in, they can change all of our worlds, all of our lives.
I got nothing else to say, J Bell. Uprise, man.
Let's uprise all day. Drop that uprise for me, Simon. That's our white guy. You might want to cut that out. OC, we'll be back next week giving the people what they want. We just wanted to give them a little draft spice, let them know we really do care about it. But next week, we're back on it, and I know you got something good for me. Gives me the chance to invade your private time. Holla at you, uprise all day.
All right, fellas.
We got the draft done. That was good. I'm a troublemaker, boy, you're nothing, just a pagan. They can't take my freedom, they can't slow my progress. I'm no preacher or prophet, but no man can cause who God bless. Man try close my chapter, man just cause I'm dapper. Go so then go faster, catch me if you can find. Young and some and smarter, foolish idiot, blood clot.